Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's devout Catholic Mark Wahlberg. It's my pleasure to tell you that Hey Fam is proudly brought to you by the good folks at the Hallow app. Got a favorite psalm or want to say a prayer for the family of the Vietnamese veteran you violently blinded? Then the Hallow app is for you. For just $77 American a month, you can get connected with fellow-minded blessed folk and practice what you preach online. Who knows, maybe I'll see you on there. Stay prayed up.
Hey, America, this is your president, Sleepy Joe Biden, just letting you know that I'm taking it back to 2003 in the White House tonight. That's right. Me and Hunter are playing seminal record Elefunk by the Black Eyed Peas loud, proud, and in full. And you better believe that my girl Fergie is saying the R word 50 times on track 3, just as our founding fathers wanted her to. God bless this goddamn beautiful country.
Angus, have you heard?
Tell me the news.
The scuttlebutt.
I tried not to talk about it with you last week.
I can't believe you. You went easy on that movie.
It wasn't even... No, I was like, I said it's dog shit, let's move on. Like, I didn't want to talk about it.
So the clip of... Actually, you're not... Oh, yeah, it is. There's a full clip. You can see the full song online now. You can hear it on all streaming services. Mm.
So don't worry, if you're vision impaired, we got you.
Yeah. So whenever they do one of these Disney remakes, and obviously the most recent one is Little Mermaid... People reckon it's because they want a song to be considered for Oscars.
That's right. There's a theory that they always throw in a new song or two because therefore it becomes a new score and is eligible for Academy Award nomination. I don't know how real that is, but the thing is it does check out because they do add, even in the Lion King remake, there's like a Beyonce song in the background of one of the scenes.
Right.
Single Ladies when Mufasa dies. Simba's mom is celebrating her new singledom. It could check out, whatever. But yeah, that, you know, for Beauty and the Beast, they give like the Beast a song, you said last week.
I can't remember.
Jasmine sings like a power ballad in Aladdin, which is like insanely...
Oh, I don't mind that song. I won't be silenced.
I can't remember it.
Okay, that's the exception to the rule of songs that I think are okay.
No, you got
to
be
It doesn't really fit.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. It sounds like it's a rock.
Even if it's like not too bad in the scheme of things, the new songs never work. So there's... I mean... We almost created this monster ourselves. I feel like our podcast willed it into existence.
Lin-Manuel
making fun
Miranda
of Awkwafina. Like in like going week to week of making fun of Lin-Manuel Miranda, then Awkwafina the next week and repeating the process again and again until this song.
And I said to you this week, I'm like, I still haven't seen it, but I refuse to believe The Farewell is an actual film.
It's such a good movie and she's so good in it.
But I refuse to, like, how can that happen?
It's fucking insane that she has not done anything like that matches her performance, like that even comes close to like,
I don't think Ocean's Eight
that kind of portrayal. No, she's scuttlebuttling in Ocean's Eight too.
Oh, you don't think in Shang-Chi?
Yeah, she's scuttlebuttling.
Yeah, no, I refuse to believe that exists. I refuse to believe a movie like an A24 indie drama has a credit sequence that just says the word Awkwafina on screen. Like, is her name like Nora Jones or something?
No, isn't that another like...
No, her name's like Nora
contemporary
something.
Singer that everyone's mum owned use an album name. From in the 90s.
Yeah, her name is Nora something.
Yeah. Awkwafina, yeah. It's such a funny name.
Awkwafina is like getting the Purple Heart of Honor or something using your gamer tag from 2003.
Well, no, legit, it's like she was an up-and-coming...
Nora Loom.
Nora Loom.
That's a great name.
It's a great name.
She was my Awkwafina. Like, I love this. As soon as you type in a name, known professionally as Awkwafina, is American actress, rapper, and comedian. She rose to prominence when her song "My Vag" became popular. And this is the type of wokeness that Disney just. I'm never like, obviously not into that whole. Like,
now she calls it her scuttlebutt.
Yeah, but I'm like, all right, Disney. I think you don't have to like give a role to Awkwafina.
I just I think maybe. Maybe this scuttlebutt over the scuttlebutt is enough for her to go, you know what? Awkwafina's over, Nora Loom forever. And she's never going to rap.
So I didn't see the Last Dragon one.
So that one is like her performance in that is so grating.
Yeah.
Because it's like quite a understated kind of movie.
Sure.
And then she shows up and it's like, yeah, it's like,
hey, girlfriend.
It's like Eddie Murphy as the dragon in Mulan. Mm. Like, you know, there's like kind of the comic relief character. Yeah. I guess lots of
using like
he was way more quippy and kind of closer to a DreamWorks character than other Disney comic relief using animals have been in the past.
Terminology from current day.
Yeah, yeah. And or I guess the genie is the first big one, isn't it? Like he's not an animal, but like
that's kind of
but
like,
it's like you
that's
know,
Robin Williams.
Exactly, but but Mushu is Eddie Murphy and whatever Awkwafina's dragon character in maybe is it she no Raya is the name
the
of
the girl or something.
Yeah, but whatever. Like that like she just is Awkwafina. It's like I feel like maybe Robin Williams started this dark path.
Yeah, he did. Well, that's why he killed himself, maybe.
Someone showed him a preview cut of The Little Mermaid remake.
They showed him Lin-Manuel Miranda's in the studio of Awkwafina. A portal opened up and there was someone, it was a future Robin Williams.
If only someone showed him Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom at the same time.
No, then he would have stayed.
But The Little Mermaid here has a song written by...
I love Robin Williams, R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. It was
filler. Actually stands for Robin in Peace.
Mm-hmm. Number one Evangelion fan.
Yeah, he is. Loves Zelda and Evangelion and has mental health issues. Sounds like someone I know.
Sounds like someone I am.
Sounds like me.
Yes,
I love Zelda. Oh, gotta get a rupee. Yes, a lot of rupees.
Oh, I think you said rupee.
No, rupees.
Rupee, yeah, good. But The Little Mermaid has a song written by Lin-Manuel Miranda and it's for Awkwafina's character.
It's literally a rap.
And like, you know, the songs in Little Mermaid...
They're very traditional.
I don't know what the new cleaned up versions of them for this remake are. I'm sure they're pretty lifeless in comparison. But they're very like, you know, classic...
Very traditional, musical.
Yeah, fanfare.
It's a classic songbook, you know?
Obviously, Under the Sea has a white guy trying to make a Caribbean song.
Now it's a black guy at least.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, like the music though in the background is like totally sounds like someone like a show tune writer.
Yeah.
Like, if you, it's such a funny...
The guy who went on a cruise once around the Caribbean is like, I understand the culture now.
But it's like everything's been made on that original song with a keyboard. It's no like actual steel drums.
No,
like,
of course not. No, you'd have to... you know, learn about a culture. And you'd have to speak to somebody from that culture probably to arrange such.
But so there's a new song, like, and there's certainly nothing remotely like rappy. I guess like Sebastian's performance in that.
Oh, that's just a racial kind of word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's full on like, you know, classic musical.
It's just a straight up hammy musical.
So there's Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote a rap song for the Seagull Scuttlebutt.
A character which has been elevated because they realize kids would probably, there'd be mass like fish deaths around the world because they can't have flounder like just like flopping around on land.
Flounder's in like 2 minutes of this movie, right?
I think so. Yeah.
It's so funny. I mean, he never had any songs. He just kind of is scared.
I don't know, Ariel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's actually like a deadweight loser.
But he doesn't
have any parents, I think.
Flounder?
Well, they're not in the movie.
It's true.
It's a movie that really does show you.
A King Triton ate his parents.
I'd like that.
But so the song is like, just, it sounds nothing like anything I've ever heard from Little Mermaid. Does it stand out like a sore thumb in the movie or is the whole movie just
no, it stands out. Anyway? Of course it does. Cause you're like, why is this woman yelling at me? Like,
and I guess like, yeah, it's like in this movie, she's playing an annoying character, like on,
and she's playing particularly more annoying than usual.
God damn. It is so atrociously
bad. And you know she
got
paid probably like $20 million.
I mean, get the bag for sure. But I bet you, like, I mean.
No, but I mean, like, that's like, you know, you could feed a fucking village for that shit. Like a third world country's village.
She got cast in this role 4 years ago. Do you reckon?
Yeah, when I saw it, Rob Marshall was there, the director. And then he like introed it. And he's like, we've been making this movie for four years. And then he's like, well, we did them for 2 years because of COVID. I'm like, okay, so it was 2 years. You made this movie. Like, have you not heard that Scott O'Brien? Oh, don't, dude. And you can hear Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Wait, I just want to hear when you do hear the it sounds like his, it's like, you know when people make like weird video game mashups? Listen for when the bit melody comes in. It sounds like Donkey Kong Country or Mario in the background.
You know what, this song would have been more appropriate in the Donkey Kong Country sequence in Mario.
Yeah, reset, get rid of Take On Me. Swap him.
Just a bad year.
Scuttle shows up in Little Mermaid and starts singing Take On Me.
It's a good year for bad movies with dog shit soundtracks. Except for maybe there's a trend bucking we'll talk about today.
Well, so I was worried going into, we just saw Angus saw it for the second time in 24 hours. I can't even remember what Tears of the Kingdom is called at the best of times.
No.
What's this one called? Spider-Verse 2. I'm just going to call it that.
No, it's called Across
the Across Spider-Verse. The Spider-Verse.
Think of the Beatles, Across the universe.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good, you always think of good.
I do.
Good ways that that I'm sure the filmmakers intended for me to understand them.
Yeah, of course.
We saw Across the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse today. Fuck, I saw someone refer to that Lin-Manuel Miranda, the way he writes his raps and the way they performed, as NPR flow.
It's so good.
It's fucking spot on.
It's real as hell, isn't it?
Then I tried to explain to my wife why that was funny and she got upset.
She like pulled out the divorce papers she keeps in the top drawer as a threat.
But yeah, the new Spider-Verse movie, we saw that today. And I have to admit, like coming into it, like, you know, entertainment has been hitting the last few weeks. We got the Succession finale. We got the Barry finale. We've been playing Tears of the Kingdom, which I think is maybe my favorite video game ever made. We've been
there's that Levin's hyperbole I've needed.
I mean, it's been a few weeks, but like I just like go,
Avengers is actually the greatest video game of all time.
Every like 30 seconds, I'm like, fuck, I love this game so much. Like, I go, I'll just put 10 minutes into it and before I do this job. And then suddenly it's 3 hours later and I haven't done the job that before. Like, you know, when I woke up, I'm like, you have to do this job today.
Yeah.
Like it just shifts the importance of things in my life.
95 hours.
You said 100.
I said near close to 100.
Okay, close to 100.
Yeah. No, I haven't hit triple digits. But like, yeah, it's been a life ruiner in the best possible way.
I finished Breath of the Wild with 120 hours, I think. Mm. And then
I finished at 120 and then I think the rest was DLC and exploring and it came to like 150, 160.
Did you get the bike in the end?
Yeah.
I never went.
Yeah, the bike's tight.
Okay, tight bike.
But I like the horses.
Okay.
Like I like them, the people. You know, they've got brains. Like they're horses compelling. Are good people. The bike's kind of also like, I guess, you know, the bike is kind of like pales in comparison to what you can do in Tears of the Kingdom.
It's true. I wonder if they'll do DLC for this game.
I think they will. I was thinking about that the other day. Because, like, you know, arguably they could have made, like, the Depths DLC or the Sky Islands DLC. Yeah. And there's just, like, there's so much you could
so
do.
So much game.
Yeah.
I also can't believe how, like, they're doing is recontextualizing stuff from the first game, but in a much more interesting way. Like,
yeah. I mean, the
way you find the memories now is so much better than the first game.
Because you had to, like, line up photos, right?
Yeah. And then, like,
the other one, you're given like 12 like essential screenshots of like weird areas of the map, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and it was impossible to find without a walkthrough. Like,
and now it's like, yeah, you
just fly in the sky. There's a tattoo on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. But I also find the story like pretty interesting. Yeah.
You have Ganon and it's cool. And I love like King Raru, this like fucking furry king. And
yeah.
He's like hot as hell, like human bitch wife. Yeah. It's sick. Zelda just hanging out there wearing like some crazy clothes. It's awesome.
Yeah. I'm loving this game so much.
It's great. I got the Master Sword last week.
Hell yeah.
That was a very fun game.
Are you using
game.
It much or are you still using
it? I use it
like
all the time.
Boomerang with a rock attached to
it. I never use the boomerang.
Oh really?
I hate the boomerang.
I love the boomerang with a rock attached to it. Get out of here, Lionel.
Why would I do that when I have the Master Sword?
That's true. I don't. So.
Do you throw boomerangs at the Lionels?
Yeah. Or like an ice boomerang if you get one of those. Yeah. They're really, really good.
I mean, you can attach any ice thing to like, I've been attaching to my shields the like stones because you can't really do much with them.
Are they just,
you know, those
really
like
strong?
Sluggy things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, so there's electricity ones, there's ice ones. And
they
then
last longer than...
It doesn't like corrode after one like parry or slash. Okay, and you can just like walk into a place like a goblin horde and like just ice them all with one swipe of the shield. That's been fun.
I've been, using the ice, my ice boomerang and then you make it go through a bunch of enemies, and then you do rewind.
Oh yeah.
And then you hit it again, and it comes back like and hits them again. Nice. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess a boomerang would do that anyway.
That's the yeah.
Whoops.
That's kind of the function of boomerang. It might be the only weapon in the game you don't need to rewind.
There's Succession, Barry, Tears of the Kingdom. We've got a third season of I Think You Should Leave, which I binged like a crazy person.
Yeah, I got one app to go.
In one day. It's not much, it's only 90 minutes of entertainment.
But I've been too busy watching the Spider-Man movie twice.
It felt wasteful because I don't know how long until we get another series.
2 years, I reckon, 2.5 years.
But I'll be watching it again and again and again. That was my justification.
The Aquafina rap sounds like Tom Hardy in Capone when he's doing the duck scene. I love Tom Hardy.
Man, that was such a COVID moment.
Yeah, that's a crazy movie.
Capone, just like Capone moment. So many times, pisses himself, shits.
I didn't
himself.
Even know what that movie was about. It rules though.
Tom Hardy's electric in it.
I love Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he's the best actor, greatest living actor.
He has so much gay sex to get where he is. He will tell you. You know, in so many interviews, he's just like, "Of course, I've had gay sex. I'm an actor." You know that quote?
Yeah,
his?
Yeah.
So good.
And I'm also reading Slam Dunk, the manga, which is like far and away like one of the greats. I'm just burning through it, and it's like it's an early 90s basketball.
I can't wait to read it. That's manga. What I really want to read.
It's so fucking fun, and it's so well done. Like once it starts off of like it's pretty goofy, like it's more of a comedy series, and then he just suddenly it's like he understands what basketball is or something, and then it becomes the best sports related thing I've ever.
It's when the bird comes encountered. And starts rapping at the team that
that's
they
true.
Really
yeah,
escalates energies to the next level.
Man, once you hear that scuttlebutt rap in Japanese, you just know that's the way entertainment should be.
Scuttlebutt des.
But like, yeah, enjoying so much. You know, I feel like all of the tenets of media have been doing it for me lately. But then I think about movies, and I feel like I've had like not the best run with them this year. Like, I mean, I feel like I'm still just. You know, we see a lot of blockbusters. I didn't like Guardians as much as everyone else did. Like, it was certainly better than the last MCU efforts. But like, is that really like the high point of cinema for me this year? Does it hold a candle to any of the other things I just mentioned?
Whack!
No. So going into Across the Spider-Verse, especially the fact that at one point it was called Across the Spider-Verse Part 1.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And I especially didn't like it after Fast X pulled a fucking fast one on us. And
well, they could have at least put one in the title. You know what I mean? Like with Fast 10.
Yeah. Well, they've never put a number in one of their titles before. So it was hard for them.
Never made puns out of the sound of the number.
But yeah, so like I was like, knowing that like, you know, two movies that I was anticipating the most this year, Spider-Verse and Mission Impossible 8.
Are both part ones.
I was like, oh no.
I wonder too if this has a lot to do with COVID, where they're just like, fuck it, we'll make a big dick movie and split it. Like, rather than, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's blockbuster shit. You hook them.
Yeah. But now they're like, you know, Infinity War took that conscious decision to not, remember at one point it was Infinity War part one and two?
Yes.
And then it became Endgame?
Yeah.
It does actually mean a lot, like putting a number on a thing, like a part one.
I think, yeah. I mean, I feel like Mission Impossible are the only ones who aren't cowards in this situation.
Yeah.
Just like, get me ready for it.
Yeah.
I was semi ready for it today, but then when I saw that it wasn't called part one anymore, I was like, oh, is it going to be a
Spider-Verse?
I asked you.
Yeah.
I was like, is there a cliffhanger at the end of this? Because you'd seen it last night.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, it's like the only criticism. But as we'll get into later, I think it's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I think the Fast X's is like the fucking lamest.
Yeah. We have two sides of the same coin in these films, and one side is
There's a lot of
the side that makes
that
makes Two-Face kill people, and the other one's the side where they live. And only by listening to this podcast you will learn. Also, before we get anything further, I just want to say two things.
Yep.
I just want to say
Two-Face,
it is insane that they've just made Lady a black girl now. And like and they've like no one
the
mentioned
the third week you've brought that up.
I find that really strange. Like, I want to know the inner workings of like the behind the scenes minutia between like deals with like Harley Davidson and stuff, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the Fast and Furious series has always been about how silly they use cars. Start off with street racing, and then as we know by part 9 they're going to the stars in cars.
I would forgive this if they found a way for
Like the bike to be on the car?
Or like her to be in the car and then like...
And riding a bike.
And then the bike suddenly drops out from beneath
like
the vehicle.
Like the Dark Knight.
Exactly.
Yeah, like if her car got destroyed and then like the Batpod pumps out like that.
Or like her... She's always riding passenger with Dom.
Yeah.
And then she's like... He's like, Letty, you got to handle this.
And
she's
it
like,
splits say off no more, sidecar Dom. Style.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's just straight up now she has a bike. I find that really weird. Second thing... we are finally doing t-shirts and we've dropped this in our Patreon, but it's a public vote. So if you go to patreon.com/heyfam, not only may you be enticed to sign up for $5 a month to...
You can resist it. Today we'll allow you
to resist it. But we do have a poll. We already have some answers on there where basically we want to cut out the pre-order process for you, because a lot of times you make a shirt, you then print them based on the sizes that people have bought. So it just like delays the process. We're getting these made with your sizes in mind.
Two different designs.
So right now we have a... I'm an American, so obviously XL. And someone wrote, better get double X for when it air quote shrinks in the dryer. But yeah, please come and vote.
Well, we've already put it up 20 minutes ago and there's been 33 votes so far.
It's amazing.
Large and in charge. 39%.
L number one. The only L we'll be taking is the majority of orders.
What are you? You an L?
Yeah.
I'm an M.
I'm an L. I like mine a little...
a little loosey goosey.
Yeah. But I also sometimes, depending on the make of shirt, I'll go XL because I want it to be a little looser.
But yeah, we've got making two t-shirts and they're going to be...
They're really good.
Like we're very, very proud of both.
There's a reason why we didn't release any of the other ones that we mentioned. What you were privy to was the public design process.
That's true. The very long, drawn out public design
process. This, you look at this and be like...
They did it.
The goal was to not make it look like podcast merch.
But also make it impossible for you to explain to your friends.
The reference.
Yeah.
But they also look good.
Yeah, one of them in particular I cannot wait for. I can't wait for that back print.
Yeah, that's going to be a real... Are you going to wear that one to the gym?
When are we revealing these?
Are you going to wear it to the gym, do you think?
It depends if a certain week makes its return to the schedule.
Ooh, wow.
When do you reckon we're going to reveal the designs? Next week? Week after?
Yeah, once we get confirmation from the printers that it's all possible. The last thing I'd want to do is let down our audience.
That's true. We would never, ever do that.
I would never let them down. But now
never say we're going to do something and then do it.
We did. We made shirts. I just don't want to, like, the worst thing to do is like, this is what it'll look like. And then everyone get excited. And then you're like, yeah, they can't do that.
Yeah. but yeah, so come and let us know let us know your dimensions.
Yeah, we want to know which spider dimension you're in.
What are you looking at? I was just seeing, because this is quite a big hoodie that I've been wearing.
Is that
lately.
An L?
It's an M.
Oh, okay.
Just a giant M.
Where from?
From Adidas. You heard of them?
Yeah, German.
but yeah, so Spider-Verse, Succession. Obviously, you haven't watched Barry. Should talk about Barry quickly before we get out of the way.
You just rap a little bit Awkwafina style. Quack, quack. But I want to talk about it with you. But like I said, I haven't watched it yet. Not because I'm not into it. I just... needed to mainline Succession.
Yeah, I do think it's they you know, HBO did Barry a disservice.
I think so too, because that night was like the fucking internets.
But we don't live in America. Maybe if you have HBO, you keep the TV on for the next thing after Succession and it's Barry. I mean, that gets it better ratings overall.
Maybe, but I'm also like, the dialogue, the think pieces, the stand-in, like it's been all Succession. Like,
yeah.
Barry has not been a part of the conversation the way that... Succession has.
But it hasn't ever been.
No, but it like should have for its final episode, I think, been given its own chance to have like its night.
Sure.
I feel bad for like Bill Hader and stuff. But I'm also like, I think Bill Hader doesn't give a shit at this point and is like, Barry is an amazing blueprint for his feature film career. Like I see him having like a Jordan Peele
type of... I can't wait for him. He's certainly...
That's the next...
Surely
step.
That's what he's going to do next.
I think so. I think in a way he was like shackled.
I wonder if he goes full Jordan Peele and puts himself behind the camera exclusively too.
I think so. Yeah, I have a feeling he will.
Has Jordan showed up in any of his movies?
No. He's too... He's no Stan Lee. Excelsior.
Look what you did now, Spider-Man.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
but yeah, I won't go too far into it, but the fourth season of Barry is probably my least favorite of all the seasons. It's still good, and there's definitely high moments. The first three episodes I loved, and then the fourth episode gets a little bit too dark for me, and then justifies that darkness by the end of it, trying to be vague.
The whole season got dark?
Well, just the fourth episode in particular is very dark, and then does something at the end of the episode where you're like, oh, maybe I understand why they had to do that. And then they don't justify that by the end of the season, if that makes sense. I'll get into it when you've finally seen it.
Okay.
But I overall really enjoyed most of the finale, and it stuck with me. Like, I can't stop thinking about parts of it.
That's a good thing.
I think Fuchs gets the best arc overall in this season. But
hey, he starred in both seasons this year.
That's true. Succession. He was in Succession. Yeah. Only in one episode of Succession, unfortunately.
The wake. Yeah.
Yeah. But
no, the day before the funeral.
That's
something.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was like the... Well, no, it is the wake. I think
It wasn't the wake. They hadn't had the funeral yet.
But I feel like the wake doesn't need to happen always at the funeral.
Right.
It's when you go to the house. Yeah. I don't know. Some Scottish shit. Who knows? But yeah, well, I'm sure you'll burn through Barry pretty quick. It's like, what, 8 hours of content? You'll be fine.
Mm. It's not even eight. It's not 8 hours. They're not hour episodes.
Oh, yeah. So 4 hours of content. Yeah. My bad. My math sucks. I've been too busy watching movies and TV shows.
Welcome to the Resistance, brother.
Succession.
Yeah.
Season 4.
That feels like 2 weeks ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it was only Monday our time. I think in complete opposition to how I feel about Barry season 4, I think I would say, and maybe this is recency bias, so I know I'm prone to a little bit of that, but
maybe a lot.
But I think this is my favorite season of Succession.
Yeah, it's really hard to pick for me right now. I think like it probably contains the greatest episodes of the season, including perhaps this finale for me.
Yeah,
but definitely episode 9 and episode 3 are distinct standouts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was definitely the most subversive season where, a major character who has been in the show is removed very early on. And it's very interesting to watch the characters work around that.
Yeah. And instead of like, I feel like other shows would have it happen in the final episode. Yeah, it's far more interesting to see how the cast
100%
lives with them.
It gave every character like a whole new dimension. Like, how do they react to this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. So incredibly written season, incredibly acted season, incredibly directed, and like just the rare for me, and I think it seems to be like a lot of people, yourself included, like extremely brilliant finale, like what you want from mm-hmm. a television show's ending that you have been like on tender hooks about.
Where it really like, it, you feel like you're getting all these different, like it kind of presents you with a happy ending at one point. And then the far more realistic like ending that you knew that these characters were going to get.
Like, it also like, I want nothing more from this show. You know what
done.
I mean? Like,
it's done. Yeah.
And that was the best thing about this. There's no like, oh, but what about like, it's just like, it is so final.
Yes.
That it's just, I don't know, man.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's so good. Like,
yeah, it's funny.
It's also like, there's no other way this could have gone down.
I think of Breaking Bad, which I think, obviously we didn't do Game of Thrones, but like besides that, I feel like it goes like, as far as like blockbuster TV that everyone paid attention to.
Like the internet era age and like the art of, the art of recap culture. That's what I'm really thinking about.
Succession, Game of Thrones. Do you reckon there's something in between Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad? I feel like it, and it's embarrassing to admit now.
Like a Mad Men.
Well, I feel like everyone was obsessed with that first season of Daredevil on Netflix. And then quickly that dissipated because it just tied into too much.
I think Mad Men. Mad Men's another one.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, like, I didn't even watch The Sopranos, but I remember everyone being so obsessive with
that. But that was pre-recap culture. And I'm talking about, like, within an hour, 400 plus think pieces by, like, major publications where they've, like, literally employed somebody to watch this show and have recaps done. And that's, like, you know, The Vox, The Vulture, like, that era of stuff. I really think, like, Game of Thrones, Succession, like, I'd say that was, like, Game of Thrones time was when that culture was really big. True Detective. But then again, that doesn't count because it resets every season. But
yeah, but I remember that big recap. For the first season was the only one people really made it into the zeitgeist. Like,
That first season is so responsible for like anything that's on television now. No, it is 100%. Like it's kind of like for me, the prime example, and I know it's not the first, but of A-list actors doing TV because it was like a dirty word before then or a career killer before then.
Yes, of course.
But these guys have had like extremely healthy film careers either side of the series.
Yeah, one of them
like we would have gotten Big Little Lies, like you know what I mean? We would have had that.
One of those actors played himself and twice. His brother twice, and they were both magicians.
And I mean, that's the real magic there. Yeah. And that director went on to create Fast 10. The biggest
He didn't actually direct Now You See Me Too.
Oh really? The Far Superior. Okay, that's cool then.
It was a Hong Kong cinema dude directed
He owns a cinema chain in Hong Kong.
That's right.
That's what awesome. I mean, we watch that many movies. Something's gotta rub off, right?
the sequel. Now You See Me Too is so much better than the first one. Come on.
Yeah, it's way better.
It's like the only post Harry Potter thing that Daniel Radcliffe has done that I liked, I think.
I don't know. I like Daniel Radcliffe. I think he's played his cards.
Yeah, no, I like him. I just feel like he hasn't really done.
I haven't really seen it. He's funny and he did that Trainwreck.
He has
that like fake dog walking movie trailer.
I've seen we were talking about it coming out of Spider-Verse. Miracle Workers is what it was called.
Again, even though I've watched it, much like The Farewell, I refuse to believe that show exists.
But you watched it?
Yeah, I just think it was a fever dream.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Oh, man, someone delivered a fucking package. I get like updates of my Google camera on my phone and watch. Someone just put it like over the gate, like just like plonk. Anyone could just reach it and get it. Fucking livid about this.
Yeah.
Do you know what's in there?
No.
Someone sent me a care package of Jurassic Park 30th anniversary merchandise. Can you imagine what's in
like
there?
Like a listener, like a company.
The company. Oh. Not a listener. That'd be weird.
Well, way you said it, someone sent me a care package.
Okay, no.
No, you made it sound like somebody sent you something.
They want me to unbox it and be like, hey, remember Jurassic Park?
That's cool.
And I might not be able to do that because someone's going to reach over my gate and just get it.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. Depends. What if there's a Newman from Seinfeld covered in dinosaur goop Funko Pop in there?
Then it's a good thing.
But yeah, anyway, back to Succession. Obviously, I could talk about the 30th anniversary of Jurassic Park all day. Unboxing 30th
anniversary of Jurassic. Hey guys, look what I just got. Oh, it's the boy from the movie.
Yep, it's my bread and butter now. Dude, I got a box delivered and no joke, 40 separate Among Us toys.
It's absurd. What are you going
to
do with
this? I don't know. I was like, Archie, do you want to take these to school? I don't know.
Do you want to get these confiscated from you at school so we can never have them in the house?
But yeah, Succession finale. Do we want to get into spoilers here or pay fam or
whatever? Let's go into it.
If you have only watched the season and not listened to the companion podcast, I think I enjoyed the podcast as much as I do.
Yeah, I'm so glad you went into it. I was like, it's always hard sell to be like, this is a good podcast, but this one's great. And it's like, it's honestly like, it takes it back to I'm sure they do this for all their companion shows, but it reminded me of DVD special features. As soon as it would end, you'd have like, it wasn't just like recap shit. It was like, oh, we sat down with the director or the actors and Jeremy Strong and Alexander Skarsgård, all these goats.
And it's so crazy to like hear which of the actors seem so similar to the characters.
Especially one.
Yeah, well, Jeremy Strong is literally Kendall. We talked last week about...
I love that guy so much. I love Jeremy Strong and Kendall Roy. One of the great fictional characters of any medium, I think.
Jeremy Strong is my favorite fictional character. He keeps quoting...
Which poem is it?
of just so many like massive literary figures, and like to the point where the host kind of roasts him.
So but, good.
Yeah, yeah.
And he like doesn't defend himself. He's just like, he has this like earnestness.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so endearing.
But it's like Kendall.
Yeah.
Like believing the shit he always says.
Fuck. Did you think Kendall might win at the end of this episode?
No, because it's Succession. And you know, the great, speaking of magic tricks a couple minutes ago, the biggest magic trick of this show is making us like root for terrible people who we knew were terrible people.
Yep.
Like the genius of Succession is like after two or three episodes of the whole series, like season one, I mean, like you start rooting for people despite the fact we've seen how like heinous they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the genius. Like we ended up like rooting for these people. And you know, I wanted Kendall to win because he's my favorite character on that show. Mm. And
but it wouldn't have felt right.
No, he can't win. Like that's the whole point of the show.
And I loved that we saw Kendall through Shiv's eyes. Like she sees him in her dad's chair.
We're a boys club with Stewie.
And I can't stomach you, is what she says. Oh, that's one of the great scenes. Like the three of them.
Boardroom scene where they're just like 8-year-olds again, screaming at each other, fighting over.
And it wasn't played. You know, normally I feel like when you cut to like the adjacent room and they can hear the yelling, it's something for comedic value. It was like, no, that's that trope, but done as a tragedy.
It was
fucking excellent.
And it was like, all three characters being Roman, Shiv and Kendall, all of their true colors were on display. Like there was no barriers, you know? And it was the most frantic desperation. It was amazing. And I honestly think the thing that got them all there was this scene I keep thinking about, and just like, again, like having this like reveal in the last episode was like, and I don't mean like a plot twist or anything, but up until that point, we'd kind of only viewed Logan Roy through the vortex, through the visor of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we're given, you know, access into his private life with this video that's like him eating dinner with friends, like some of the colleagues. And for me, that says more than anything, because at that point, you see him like relaxed, regaling, singing, being intimate with his like partner at the time. And no one, like all these things which were considered drama from the kid's point of view are just kind of like
trivial.
It's trivial. And you realize that line he said in episode 2 of this season,
You're not serious people.
And like they were never up for contention. Like that's that point where I was like,
They don't have it. Frank says, and it's Frank who's like, you know, I guess the closest thing to a father that Kendall has just after like, You don't have it, Kendall. Yeah. That scene where they're watching the recording, maybe the most tragic scene in the series, because it's the three children
realizing that they're like, oh, we were never, like, he never considered us as a serious. Like,
although one thing that does bug me though, is that, so Connor is present in that video and he does his like, I'm a little teapot in the style of Logan Roy. I just thought it was very funny. And Logan Roy's like laughing with him and they have like this genuine tender moment together. That, you know, I don't think he has with the other three children, but when Logan dies, and Connor finds out, Connor immediately just says he never liked me.
Yeah. But I think like,
Is he saying it from a business point of view or from a,
it's interesting because in the last episode, this makes complete sense because he's like, oh, Dad never told you guys about the mausoleum.
Yes, I remember.
And there's a lot of things he said throughout the series. He's like, oh, you didn't know about that?
And he called him
Pop. To me, it's just like, it's just like he views him more as a person. And it, like, because Connor never wanted that. He never wanted to be the right, you know what I mean? Like, he was just like the weird son from another marriage, previous marriage rather. And he never wanted to be the CEO of that company. So that's why I think he just viewed him as a person, not as like a threat, like as a son.
Yeah.
Where the others, it was kind of like, we hear that tragic Ken. He's like, oh, I was told this at 7. And like, that's literally been his will to live.
I wanted to look that up. It was like Candy Kitchen.
Yeah. He's like in the Candy Kitchen on the Bahamas.
Is that a real place?
I don't know. Like, I was told at 7 years
Rochester.
Old.
Rochester. Candy Kitchen in Rochester or something like
I was
that.
Told there. And like, that's literally been his driving force for like 30 years or something. Incredible.
Candy Kitchen in Bridgehampton.
Bridgehampton, there we go.
It's a confectionery store.
Yeah.
Opened since 1950.
Well, it's where Kendall Roy was told that he would become the successor as a 7-year-old. And that's pretty much been his...
You'll become Mr. Succession.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And then like Shiv was told at one point, we've seen it, Roman claims in this he was told. Like, we learned that basically, like, they've been, like, just told this, like, their whole life. And it's not a bad thing either. It's just, like, it's probably something, like, a father says. He probably maybe meant it in that moment, you know? Like,
and when it, you know, as he's when a it bad comes father down to as it well. As well, it's, like, it's just kids fighting where it's, like, you know, he told me first. And then Roman's, like, well, he told me last.
Yeah, like, and then you see, yeah. like, Ken, the great bit is, like, I'm eldest boy.
Yes, just, I'm like, the eldest boy.
Just absurd that someone in their, like, 40s is screaming that out. And just that tragic scene when Chip's like, well, yeah, well, you killed someone. And he's like, no, I didn't. I made it up. And
yeah,
you're just
yeah.
like, oh, this is so horrible. And when he starts like gouging out Roman's eyes almost, it looks like, when he's like yeah. holding him against the door. But that, I mean, that was such a low blow. We finally get confirmation like in the last 5 minutes of the show that Kendall's
impotent.
And, you know, we knew that he had maybe 2 adopted kids. We knew one was at least adopted. But we find out in a really, really like cutting, heartless, shut down by Roman. He says they're buy-ins and they're nobodies, they're randoms. And, you know, one is literally mail order and the other one you got is Rava's eggs and some random dude's sperm.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh man, that would be such a like, it just adds to the tragedy of Kendall Roy. Like
yeah.
the eldest boy, which he isn't, which is already another yeah, exactly. hilarious thing.
Yeah, I love Shiv goes, but you're not.
Yeah, like, yeah. The eldest boy who he sees himself as, but someone who doesn't have, in his mind, he could never make the next success of what he thinks should be, you know, the eldest boy. It's insane. And then you just kind of like, then Roman's like, yeah, dad never liked them anyway. Like those kids and yeah. he saw them as randoms and he's just like, oh, that's so
fucking... Roman, I reckon in that moment, Roman was trying to say the worst possible thing he could imagine 100%. To make Kendall have a violent reaction 100%. For everyone in the boardroom to see.
100%. Yeah. 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 But so, then also Roman's a guy that's like, yeah, let's have a Nazi be president. Like I still think Roman is like maybe the worst of them all.
Yeah.
I find he has absolutely zero morals except self-interest.
Well, he's always been nihilistic, I think no more so than ever
right
in this final episode.
Or he like, was at the
we're
start.
We're bullshit.
He kind of says that at the start as well. Yeah, and then he buys into, I want to be CEO.
Yeah.
When he realizes like, you know, the team up with Jerry's like early on and like, you know, that relationship. And she's kind of like, you could do this. You know, he was, yeah. But then he finally realizes, oh, this is just bullshit.
I actually thought when they were at their mum's house and like Kendall broke the news to Shiv that they were going to get a different CEO. Mm. There's so many elements this school. We haven't even mentioned Tom and Greg yet. But it's just because at that core relationship of the three siblings is just so amazing to watch. But
how are you? You cold? Do you want to put the heater on?
A little cold, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I can sense it in you.
I have got an aforementioned medium hoodie that I could put on.
I've also got a heater, you know?
No. Save the environment, bro. Save the whales and shit. Yeah.
Save my electricity bill.
Yeah. Right. But the, like, I really thought that Kendall was going to suggest that, oh, Shiv, it's you. And no. I know he never would, but part of me wanted it so bad to realize
in any other show
that it would make so much more sense if a Kendall backed Shiv would be so powerful. And exactly
in any other show, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But no, Kendall is the one. And to me, like I said last week, I think like to me he is the protagonist because we're told in the first ever episode that he's going to be it, and then that he's not. So to me, he's kind of like the lifeline of the show.
Yeah, totally.
He is. Like, I mean, you know, all the season finales generally end up being like a big thing he's done or is about to do. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny because we had so many wins from him this season.
Mm-hmm.
Rare wins.
Living plus.
We're not eating, Ken fans.
Yeah.
We're not eating tonight.
Who do you think like kind of has, like, you know, if you imagine like the next potential season or whatever, were they to do one, where do you see, like, I feel like if you were to make another season after this one, Kendall's just not in it.
No. Like he's dead or
he's just like, he's just missing.
He's just a billionaire sitting by himself on an island, which he is. They all sold for billions.
I feel like Roman still has some weird ties to Waystar.
No, I reckon he's out. I reckon he's just done. He's probably investing in weird things that friends are doing, film stuff. Who knows?
Exploring horrible political.
Yeah. Probably backing, I reckon backing people politically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken is like off the grid, probably just by himself in an apartment.
Yeah.
Looking out of the window.
I was really interested in listening to the second part of the podcast of this episode.
I reckon he goes up to Canada and tries to spend time with Uncle Ewan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
Starts getting his hands dirty, like on a farm or something.
He goes to Hawaii and starts throwing some chairs.
Well.
But the podcast is really interesting because the second episode is interviewing the director, Mike Millard.
Yeah, who's done like a handful of, like heaps of episodes. Yeah. Rather, sorry.
I love how all of, like, you know, the creator, most of the directors, writers are British. Of this, like, you know, quintessential American program.
Yeah, yeah. So many of the creatives behind the show are British.
But I noticed that my read on the Tom and Shiv ending was a bit different to everyone else. Like, everyone being like, oh my God, what a shame. You know, Shiv finally has to be like just the CEO's wife and she's no longer able to be powerful herself. But I saw it as like, this was a play by her. Like, she'll never stop playing Tom. I think definitely he has more power than he's ever had before.
Of course he does.
But I don't know.
He had more power because in that phone conversation, she was like the one she called, like,
yeah,
she was basically like begging to have a relationship.
Mm.
And he's just like,
I don't know.
I'll see. Yeah, I'm busy. He was essentially like, whatever. Like,
but I feel like that's because she's hurt him, not because he sees himself as well. He doesn't need her anymore. But he does love her.
He
though.
Does, but he also told her like all he's ever wanted is money. Like four episodes ago, remember? Yeah, he's like, I've always fantasized about just about having money. That's all I've ever wanted. And you were a means to that. And I loved you. But yeah, I don't know. I saw it as tragic for her. My mom also viewed it the same as you. But I was like, nah, she's literally become her mother. She's going to have a child that she doesn't raise and be married to the CEO of Waystar Royco, who will probably like become her father again, like cheat on her, have affairs, like,
yeah.
And she would just be one of the wives that's pushed aside and have a terrible relationship with their child.
But
I saw her just like becoming like, rather than being like Logan, she became the mother.
I don't see Tom in that role for like longer than
no, I see it. Everyone getting fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the company fucking plummeting. Like, yeah, Mattson's, I do too. So unhinged. Yeah, too.
I see it.
You know, everyone was comparing Mattson to Elon Musk. Mm. I mean, obviously Skarsgård is for the first, like the most important difference between Mattson and Musk is that Mattson's actually funny
and attractive,
and also that too. But I mean, like at Elon's core, he's a deeply unfunny man.
He's someone who wants to be thought as funny.
And I finally saw something Musk-like in Mattson in this last episode, which was him clearly affected by the cartoon of him being puppeted by
that
Shiv.
Was, yeah, yeah.
And that was like pure, like some bullshit.
And he just kept
Musk
insisting, like, no, it's funny.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah, and you could tell that was like the driving point of him like axing her.
Greg, you know, having that fight in the bathroom with Tom.
Classic Tom and Greg scene.
But then only for Tom to forgive him and put the sticker on his forehead.
Like porous. It's his porous.
He loves
know?
Him. He yeah. loves him. Yeah.
He's like, you're worthless. You're nothing, but I've got you. Does he say that?
I love how he just kept... that's why Greg sells Tom out. Why he keeps going, but like Tom...
he treats him like shit.
Exactly. And, like, so he's
and
like,
he keeps taking him back.
Exactly. So funny, but like, yeah,
I mean, it is pretty funny that like, yeah, Tom Greg and Greg Kendall. Are the ones that stay.
Yeah, he
loves it. He wants to be part of the quad.
Yeah, exactly.
He even says in this, he's like quad, like. But you, that fucking
because there are moments of acceptance, like when at the funeral,
in season three,
when Shiv's like, yeah, you can carry the casket.
But and in season three, Phillip, the first half is like Greg and Kendall.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's got Greg on because he's gave him the papers.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Best moment. Fuck.
But yeah, Greg, a rare moment of geniusness, firing up the translator app and finding out that they're dumping Shiv.
Yeah.
Like, incredible.
Yeah, I loved
it. And it calls Kendall straight away.
Yeah. Even that, you know, even though Tom's advice is when you have what is it like when you have information, you hold on to it.
You hold on to it, you bottle it, like,
and then you smash it into someone's fucking face.
Yeah.
What a great line.
Tom. I mean, it's Tom. It always was Tom. He's the killer. When he took fucking Logan's chicken on that boat.
I rewatched that again this week too. Someone was sharing on Twitter what a scene. Yeah.
Like he's the
Thank you for the chicken.
He is the killer.
It's crazy.
He's a sycophant. He'll do what you want, but he'll also like burn any bridge to stay in favor of the person who's doting out power.
I think I don't know if we've talked about it before, but like for me, it's not weird when Shiv speaks in an Australian accent, but whenever Matthew McFadden speaks in the British accent,
you're like,
oh no,
Tom.
Yeah.
You just picture him as a piece of shit dude.
Yeah,
from America.
And he's such a he got such a like a pleasant hello. Like yeah,
I love
yeah.
it, man. What a fucking great actor McFadden is.
I think that's my Fadden. Oh, says McFadden. Yeah, all the way around. But I think he's my favorite performance overall. Like when I, yeah, not that it doesn't matter.
It's hard, man.
Like
it's actually like genuinely hard. Cause then I'm like, Brian Cox is also like incredible.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Alan how good Rock's was amazing. The ending of the podcast. It was going to leave you with like some profound words Fuck from off. Logan Roy. Fuck off. That was
but
great.
But it's like, but I don't know. For me, it's Jeremy Strong. That guy is like on another level.
Yeah, totally. Like,
the fucking deadness in his eyes. Even like that, I love that moment of levity in the last episode when they joke about killing him and then they're like, oh, how annoying would he be if you killed him? And they're like brilliant him, Kendall impressions.
I didn't love, I felt the most out of character was when they just kept singing Meal for a King. I didn't
think, I like that. I thought, it reminded me of like when you see, like, okay, this is why it felt real to me because as a single, as an only child, I would see like siblings get on the same wavelength about something and me feel like, oh, I don't get this, but I understand it's probably a sibling thing. And to me, it was like, oh, this is probably a game they used to play as a kid when they would stay and be bored and like just put stuff in a blender.
Yeah, sure.
Like, and I was like, oh, I've seen my cousins who are like...
Oh, it was purely just that Jeremy Scott was singing throughout it. I was like...
I think he was just on cloud nine because they were like, we're going to take down... everyone, like that was that happy moment. Yeah. No, I bought it completely and I was like,
I did love that scene.
I was incredible. Yeah. And it was the last thing they ever shot,
which is really sweet.
Yeah. Well, and he's like, I drank that. He's like, it was all real.
Yeah.
And then I jumped into the ocean because, and washed myself because I couldn't get the smell and taste away.
Fucking perfect. Episode.
I love too. Cause they, I think in season two, they make several comments, maybe even one or several, all seasons about how terrible their mother's cooking is.
Yes.
And she just has like cheese and frozen and nobbies of bread.
Nobbies, the bread nobbies.
And I was like, that was true. Just like out of date pickles.
I love that. What a great decision to have her be like one of the main characters of the final episode. It
was very fitting. And just like her cunty husband trying to pitch them in investment.
His name Philip? Yeah.
I think it's Philip or something. And just they're being rude to him. And, Philip, also, is it Philip Munson?
And no one takes him seriously. Like she doesn't even really take him seriously.
He's either. Just money.
Yeah. So funny. And his shitty friend.
The kids are just like, fuck off.
Yeah,
like,
Roman in particular was so funny.
Philip Munyon, is it?
Yeah, something like that,
The most British sounding motherfucker ever. You know he's a duke of something, right?
Yeah.
I love it. It was like sad because I was like, oh, this is the last scene I'll ever see between Tom and Greg. Like as they were on screen and I was like,
of course.
Oh, this is the last scene I'll see of Kendall with Shiv. And that was, but it was also like, quit while you're ahead. Like this is going to go down as one of the great shows of all time, not just the last decade, but it's this insane show.
It's been fucked in my house not being able to talk about it because B's so far behind.
Is she really?
Which has been running reports. It's like the worst time of year.
Yeah, sure. Fuck.
Because it just takes so long. She has like 30 kids she has to write like 6 paragraphs about.
Dog shit.
Dude, public school teaching is got to be one of the most undervalued jobs in the world.
Yeah, my parents, both of them.
It's fucked up how much work is expected of teachers.
I know, it's insane. It's why like, and then you see like private schools, they get government funding as well as like $50,000 up to $100,000 from each student that goes there to do like, it's so unfound. It's like, I hate it. It's so unjust.
So I have not being able to talk about it. It does like draw you to like finding other people's online takes or whatever. Like I'm very grateful that the Discord
exists. What's the feedback? Everyone's pretty unanimous in it.
Yeah, there's been very few
interesting
people that have been negative about this finale.
I think everyone feels like extremely satisfied. I also think people have come to expect like the worst of finales in the last 10 years because of the amount of unsatisfactory ones. Obviously, one we haven't seen, but we all know about Game of Thrones. Like I can't even name a mega fan who likes it. Like there's no such thing.
Yeah.
And when there's this much pressure, especially when there's kind of a who will it be type of ending as opposed to just like an ending where...
Well, that's, I mean, almost like the, you know, the solving of a mystery. Like, like no one, I remember like it was 50-50 whether people liked or didn't like the True Detective season one finale.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as like in your face with like
this. Yeah, it wasn't a mystical thing at the end of the day. It was just like, oh, that's a bad man. There's no real rhyme or reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Breaking Bad, I was thinking, I was very satisfied with the Breaking Bad finale.
What is it again? He like sets up a gun to automatically kill people?
He basically frees Jesse. That's the crux of that episode.
Right. He's like trapped by neo-Nazis, right?
Yeah. I think they went like, once they got rid of Fring, it was like, shit, we haven't got an iconic villain anymore. Let's bring in the Nazis.
There's that great bit I remember with Robert Foster when he goes and gets like his new identity and stuff. And he's in the like cabin and he gets his name and that like...
He kills that girl with stevia.
There's
a girl with stevia in her tea and he puts
the one who was like from the chicken company.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
Lydia,
yeah. And so I think about the finale a lot. I think it was a pretty good finale, but you know what I don't think about, and I couldn't tell you anything that happens in it, is that the movie they made, which is about what happens next.
Yeah, Red with Camaro. Jesse.
Yeah, what happened in that? I remember liking it fine, but
yeah,
like,
they should never have made that.
It's very strange, isn't it? But then you have the reverse of that, where they made the prequel series, which is like people love that more than Breaking Bad. And it is one of those things that one of these days I need to sit down and watch all of.
Yeah.
Fuck me dead, it's easy to just watch good shit, isn't it?
Like, that's what there is an abundant overabundance of good shit. That's what I mean. I have to like pick and choose, because I can like I can only be a part of so many fandoms and get invested. I like to be invested. I've never been a person, and this I'm not critiquing this, if you do it, that's great. I can never be someone who throws something on and then does other stuff.
Yeah, I keep trying to, and then I like sometimes I'll make lunch or fold washing,
sure,
all that kind of stuff.
But I like, just can't, because I'm
people
like
people that do it with like a laptop on their lap and like while doing work. No,
that's I can't not, do that. Yeah. That actually like not your lifestyle depresses me, but if I did that, it would depress me.
Sure,
I'd be like, what am I doing?
I mean, maybe if I put on like Simpsons reruns or something, that'd be no, I'd just stop me from doing work.
I just want to, but I'm also like, I just want to hear new things. I'll put on a podcast talking about something new. You know what I mean?
But
like,
you can't do work.
No,
while doing that.
No, yeah, no. Yeah. But I mean, like while doing chores.
Yeah, for sure.
I will put on something not visual based.
Yeah,
that's just me though. Like if you can do it, congratulations.
Yeah,
I remember being like having people who like put on stuff that like for comfort and stuff, and they're just like, oh, I put this on in the background. I'm like, what are you doing? I can't hear you. Like this is so distracting. Like for me, it's distracting.
Yeah, I had a friend come over yesterday, and we're talking about Succession. He's like, oh, I know I should watch it. But I kind of don't really watch anything unless I can watch it in my bathroom these days while I get ready. I'm like, okay, that sounds fucked.
What are you watching?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The fucking, like, the like weird fake shows they put in the back of taxis in New York.
Like. Yeah. But yeah, so rewatching a bunch of older Succession episodes, not older, like, you know, seasons, like episode 1, 2, 3, and 4 from this season with Bea as she slowly catches up. It's crazy to see Hugo's arc in this season.
Hugo's so good.
He goes to the kids immediately after Logan's dead.
On the boat, doesn't he?
Yeah, he tells them that that Frank and Carolina are drafting the announcement.
That's right.
And he doesn't need to do that, but he immediately goes.
He just
to
wants
them.
To get in with them.
And I love that, like, that was all for naught, and like now he's fucked because Tom's in charge.
Tom hates him.
But do you think that, you know how like when Shiv gets to the office and Carolina sees her and is like, first things first, could we maybe get rid of Hugo? Yeah. And then one of the first things Tom does is like where's Carolina?
Carolina? Yeah,
do you reckon it's because Shiv spoke to Tom in between that scene? And
probably.
Yeah. So maybe they are going to run this together.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe he just like hates Hugo.
Yeah. I mean, everyone. I never understood why everyone hated Hugo though.
I love him. He's like such a slime ball.
Maybe that's why he's.
I love him. I love his voice.
Yeah.
I love his appearance. I love everything about that character.
It's cool seeing Carl. A little, I like Carl is someone who hasn't really had too much depth.
Yeah.
But it, like, you know, him singing at the dinner table.
What a
table.
Voice.
And like Logan roasting him, but like in a, like,
you in
know,
a nice
you're
way.
Murdering
not in a, like,
Carl.
Yeah. You know, like just being friends.
Yeah.
Like it was just literally the old guard being friends.
Yeah. Like him not being able to truly compliment someone. So you insult them
in
a loving
way.
Really,
that was like the greatest, one of the greatest scenes of the whole series,
I
think.
Yeah, it's such a great finale.
It was a finale that just like, there was no fat. Like there was no moment where I was like, I didn't need that scene.
Yeah, totally agree.
I was just like, this is perfect. And I'm glad it ended when it did, but I could have taken another hour of just seeing some of my favorite characters interact.
I did love watching. I sent you a bunch of them, like videos of everyone. Like, you sent an amazing video of
fuck them just singing "Say It Ain't So."
So it's like I think like when they're in doing the Norway scenes, maybe or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think you're at a bar or something.
Yeah, and I saw there was another one that Greg Nicholas Braun put it up on his Instagram, and he's singing improvising some dumb song.
Yeah,
and everyone's like killing themselves laughing at it. But then that's from that same night. Someone we can't work out who it was was singing "Say It Ain't So" on guitar, and everyone's singing. Along.
Everyone knows the song, like Shiv knows
except,
all the words
except
Jeremy
Strong.
Still in character, only likes Jay-Z and Biggie Smalls.
But then seeing like all the rap party stuff, like, and it's like all the cast, like all of them, like even like bit players, like on this dance floor, like, you know, you've got Brian Cox,
so
you've got
good.
Cameron. Alan Ruck. You've got like all these different actors and they're just dancing like Call Me Maybe.
It's so good. I love it, man.
It's so good.
It is probably the best like ensemble cast ever.
Who Do You Think You Are by Spice Girls, and they're all like dancing.
Who Do You Think You Are?
I wish Jerry had a little bigger role in this last season, but I like that she won.
She got paid out.
Yeah.
Regardless, like either way, she was getting paid.
If you're winning in this final season, you don't get as much screen time. You know what I mean?
Like, it's just not about that. Yeah. It's not about success. It's about, and just like an amazing final shot, obviously with Kendall sitting at the Hudson River, staring at it. Body of water, very big theme, as we know with Kendall, but having like the physical and like metaphorical ghost of his father right behind him.
Yeah.
Colin, like the only person, like he has now become his father.
Yeah, totally.
Like we saw the opening now of this season, which now makes even more of a beautiful bookend, is Logan spending his birthday with his bodyguard and no one else. And
Colin
walking back through the park while he walks behind him, and Kendall went out the same way.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's like he's fast-tracked where his father was at that point, because his kids hate him now, Kendall's.
Yeah.
He's got no wife. Like he's lost everything.
Yeah.
He's literally fast. He did get his wish. He became Logan Roy, just not the CEO Logan Roy he wanted to be.
Just the angry, friendless Logan Roy. Yeah. TV's been fucking great. I watch all of I Think You Should Leave. Fuck, actually, maybe in between Hey Fam and Pay Fam, we should quickly watch.
The final app?
No, so before he did, I think
The characters.
Tim Robinson did an episode of an 8-episode
sketch show
where every episode is like hosted by a different comedian.
Yeah.
Playing different characters. And he's one of his, it's called The Characters on Netflix. It's Netflix, so they made one season. But you should be grateful it's still on there, because do you know, like there's like a bunch of shows that came out like last year that have just taken off Netflix. Like, not that I would ever, but like Willow.
Disney as well.
Willow's
gone.
That's
Disney.
Is it Disney? Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah, right. That's insane for tax reasons.
Mm. Terrible. So now people are like, oh, you can't even buy these digitally, physically.
The Netflix one is the regular show guy's show Close Enough that he made with one of the Simpsons producers.
Hectic.
Directors. Showrunners.
Yeah, right.
Oakley or Weinstein, one of them. That's gone. Like I watched like 3 episodes of that. It was like fine. I'm like, oh, I'll watch the rest of that another time.
No, too bad.
Yeah, it's gone, Chief. Suck it up. I Think You Should Leave. Speaking of Netflix, like the only thing.
No, I think you should leave, dude. This is my house.
Okay. Well, but the third season of it, I feel like was one of the last things we were waiting to watch before canceling Netflix forever.
Yeah.
I loved it. I feel like people, I don't know, I guess like reviewing sketch comedy is...
Comedy is so subjective as well.
For me, it's like I just love watching Tim Robinson yell.
Yeah.
And so I know I'm going to be satisfied.
He gets to the point of crying, which is what he does so well.
The opening sketch of The Characters is like fucking insanely good.
Yeah.
If anyone listening hasn't watched it yet, it's on Netflix before you cancel. Watch the opening sketch. It's like him playing like a member of the Rat Pack kind of vibe. And it's so fucking funny.
I think you should leave. When he's playing like the mime who keeps telling people what he's doing and losing money. It's like, it's a fucking door. It's like, ding. I was laughing so much at that.
So Tim Heidecker, one of our favorite guys of all time.
One of the original intros.
That's true. Fuck
it. Before we got Marky Mark and Tom Cruise.
AI do it.
We didn't get AI to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Before we got those
That's
guys.
That's so funny. I interviewed Tim Heidecker, didn't turn the interview into an article. I just clipped out the drop he did for me and used it on my podcast. That's great. Enjoy your morning.
That's where it came from.
I feel like whenever there's a guest on, I Think You Should Leave, it's almost like, oh, damn, we're not going to see Tim Robinson in this sketch. So, like, on one hand, you're excited that, like, you know, the best guest ones, it's when Tim Robinson gets to play alongside them. Like, the Bob Odenkirk one is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Because they're both, like, obviously Bob Odenkirk is the crazier of the two of them in that sketch, but more often than not, you just have like a guest standing in for the...
Tim gets crazy and
or Tim Robinson just isn't in the sketch. Yeah, like, you know, Patty Robinson, for example. And I feel like the last two Tim Heidecker ones, it's like him at the restaurant from season two, and then him, that brilliant sketch from season one where with the
jazz.
The jazz, yeah.
Wait, what's the restaurant one Tim's in?
It's like with a, there's like a talking head.
Oh yeah. That's right. Like an alien head.
Yeah, and that's fine. But this one, I loved that it was like Tim and Tim together
being weird as shit,
both being fucked, and like. I mean, that sketch is like my favorite by far. Like I watched it so many times. He's like a doctor who
he gets FOMO about nightclubs. Oh, God. that's literally what it is.
And the punchline of that.
Yeah. You can't explain it.
It's just so fucking
good. You can't explain jokes. It's bad.
I love that show so much.
Yeah, it's great. I
like that you just we just get like 90 minutes out of it every 2 years.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And Tim Robinson is a fucking gift.
He's a beautiful man.
I liked Sam Richardson. I guess he's like, you know, a longtime collaborator of Tim Robinson.
Yeah. And he always pops him in.
I liked his delivery. Like both his characters are fucking insane. The stupid metal magnet show. Oh, you haven't got it. It's in the last episode. All right. Oh, man. Okay, I'll wait for you to watch it before I start talking about
it. Damn, stop ruining jokes for everybody in the world, dude.
But yeah, so TV's hitting. I mean, we're both chipping away at Tears of the Kingdom. Do you think you see yourself finishing it in the next week, or you?
No, I'd like to take my time with it.
Yeah, it's fun just ticking everything off. Huh?
Yeah.
How are you going with Korok seed hunting? It's like the one thing that
it's always
feel
annoys
like I don't
me,
care
but
to talk
I'm like
about.
I got to do it because of weapons.
Yeah, totally.
I find it's like the most annoying thing in the game. But if I stumble across it, I'll be like, "Now, all right, let's do this."
Especially the like, yeah, help me find my friend.
It's fun the first few times when you're like, "Oh, I get to do."
I'd much rather go. This rock's in a weird place.
Yeah,
and
I
lift
throw
it up
one
and
down.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, game's hidden, obviously, yeah. Or that particular game hidden. Maybe the rest of the games
it's
industry
so hard, my
not
dude.
Hidden too hard. But yeah, we got to talk about movies too. Across the Spider-Verse, quick spoiler-free review before we take it to PayFam and go full spoilers. Going into this, I didn't like that last trailer at all.
And I famously told you I didn't watch them.
Yeah, right.
I went in cold.
I only saw it because it was on before. Fuck it, maybe the
fast or something. Fast X, yeah, probably
something like that. I don't know. I was worried, but I forgot that Lord and Miller, haven't really put a foot wrong. And I feel like, I mean, we could get into it, but like, imagine how different the world would be if they made their solo.
Very different.
I mean, I feel like that film maybe would just be marginally better than what we got. But I don't know. Like, I feel like you don't get them fucking doing as much as they do with this.
Yeah.
With these movies, I don't know. I who knows how involved they even are, but. I think a lot.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah, but I mean, this was being directed by a different director. We'll get into the who's who of behind the scenes of this movie.
And animation's so different because, like, while there is a director, it's always so much more collaborative, I feel, than like
a live
action.
Yeah, for sure. Like storyboarded. And then
yeah,
that's,
like, it feels like a completely... yes, you are the director, but I'd imagine it's a very different version of a director than who's on a physical set with, like, physical actors. But obviously, like, they do direct it, but it's like, I don't know. It always feels like it's far more of a, like, a village builds an animation film.
Yeah. I feel like Enter the Spider-Verse, the first one, like, it's just like, you can't argue that is not a wonderful movie. Like,
it's one of the great hallmarks of, like, honestly, like, American cinema animation. It pushes so many things forward. Comic book adaptation, like, it smokes anything live action in the last decade. It's like, it's incredible.
And so, my expectations were so huge.
Yeah, I mean, it had a lot of pressure, this film.
But I was worried at the same time. So maybe that lowered them enough. But God damn, I was blown away by how good this movie was. My concerns were for naught. Like, this is such an excellent time. It does the shitty cliffhanger thing, but it does it so well. And you immediately was like, it's like Back to the Future or Empire Strikes Back.
Reminded me of like the great cliffhangers where it ends, but also like, they especially Empire, Toy Story 2, Last Jedi, like the thing that this movie does, and we'll talk about it more, it like plays with the lore in a sense where it's not like nudge nudge wink wink at the audience, but it's about characters who are aware of lore trying to break free of lore.
Yeah.
And like, what's the point of lore, like following doctrine and stuff, like Woody being in the TV show. You know, it's like, I love when a sequel will like contextualize
thing. I write my own, you know, path.
And that's like the whole point of The Last Jedi is like, you know, Kylo Ren is the one who's like actually like Miles in that, being like, don't worry about what's come before. Like, let's do our own thing. And Miles has a fantastic arc in this about basically being, and I mean, I kept watching it being like, man, if you're like a young person of color, that's so big. Like, basically a lot of this movie is very many people telling Miles Morales he doesn't belong somewhere, And then him that like having to be like, no, I do belong, and because I'm choosing to belong. And that's like such a big thing, I think, for like a hero to say, rather than,
yeah,
oh, I got these powers. I got, like, it even like kind of challenges to a degree that with great power comes great responsibility, not in a fucking Zack Snyder, Kevin Costner, don't save people way, but like, you know, yeah, it really gets into like,
God damn it. That's got to be one of the worst moments of in
that's
movies.
Like Batman's parents not dying, becoming like part of his law.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
let me die, son.
He's like,
you can't save me.
Yeah. Wait, but I'm literally, no, don't.
That is the stupidest fucking thing.
Might be like 10-year anniversary of that film soon.
No, yeah, it absolutely is. Like we've passed it, because I saw it on my honeymoon.
Really?
On my honeymoon in 2013.
Damn.
So that would have been in like,
I bet, yeah, you, May, I bet you a, May, a certain fan base hadn't forgotten that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I bet you a certain well-adjusted fan base didn't skip that day.
But yeah, we'll obviously get right into the 10th anniversary of Man of Steel and PayFam tonight too.
Yeah, that's all we'll be talking about.
But yeah, before we hit the PayFam.
Now we're going to go, yeah, spoilers.
Pure Spider-Verse chat tonight. But like, I think this is my favorite movie of the year now, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, what has there been?
Fast 10.
Yep. So yes, it is.
Guardians 3.
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. It's been fucked.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite film of the year thus far. Mario Brothers.
Oh my God. Have I seen anything good this year?
Great question. Let's see. Fast 10. I've watched a lot of old movies this year.
Yeah, same.
Suzume, very good.
Oh, Suzume was cool. The Magician's Elephant.
John Wick 4.
Oh, John Wick 4 was great. Yeah, but I think 4. This is better than John Wick 4. Shazam, Fury of the Gods. You loved that one.
Oh, Quantumania.
Of course. Big Quantumania heads over here. God damn. What?
Pathan.
Stinky. Oh, Pathan was fucking sick. Yeah.
Fableman.
I didn't see Creed 3.
Yeah.
Or Scream 6. You were a big fan of the White Man Can't Jump remake. That's right.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, loved the animated movie Mummies.
Yeah.
The fuck is that movie? It's the only one that our boy...
Number one. Oh, man, I can't wait for his Spider-Verse review.
What's his name again?
Is it like Nebel or something?
Jiren? I don't remember.
Jiren. Definitely a real name.
Oh, shit. They just announced the director for the Moana remake.
Is it The Rock?
It's so fucking funny. It's the guy who directed Hamilton and In the Heights.
Wow.
The Lin-Mirandification of Disney continues.
That dirty little cunt's got his hands all over.
That's what DLC stands for.
He's got his hands all over the House of Mouse.
No, I think they just love him.
Yeah,
they
because
fucking
he just
love this guy.
Because fucking people love him. Dumb people love him.
How good's like when you see like in the like real time feed, like all of the times that he had to like delete. And
yeah,
re-edit,
and keep like adding things.
Re-edit his, yeah. Grateful for the team we're assembling for Moana. Fishhook emoji, wave emoji. Very inspired by Tommy Cale's spirit, drive, and passion to create something special with Moana for families around the world.
Well, he's won multiple. What did the first movie not do? It did all of that.
Yeah, but this guy's won multiple Tonys for directing Hamilton and In the Heights. So he has that intrinsic reverence for history and culture, music and dance, edge and vibe.
So wait, wasn't that the first film? Like, this is, it's so insane that he's like, that statement is so absurd.
Yeah. Story of Moana and playing Maui is deeply personal to me, our culture and ancestors.
Yeah, you've done it before. I know. It's so insane.
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. No, it's the second
it's
time.
It's actually
twice in a lifetime opportunity for us.
The Rock is like Anno redoing Evangelion. He's just going to keep making Moana for the rest of his life now.
That's so funny.
I find this is like the most cynical of the live action remake.
But just because it feels like it's Rock's like, fuck, Black Adam didn't do well, fuck.
But not only that, it's just like the movie is 7 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. Like, it's like, but it's him just kind of desperately like calling in studio favors.
It's like them announcing a turning.
Put me in Fast movie now!
Seriously, yeah, it's like them announcing a Turning Red live action remake in a year. And you're just kind of like.
Starring Awkwafina.
Yeah, starring Awkwafina and the Rock. All right, let's hit stop.
Okay, come over to PayFam. Patreon.com/HeyFam is where you go to not only get an episode of PayFam, which is going to be all about Spider-Verse, but you can also get some t-shirts very soon. Patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month gets you an extra episode of HeyFam every single week. And we'll see you in the Spider-Verse, aka PayFam.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.